We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We're walking through it. Notice that. We're not stopping in it. No, keep moving.
The Names of God, Part 6, Jehovah Rohi, Part 3.
Thank you for joining Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the Word. We welcome all of you joining us by television and those of you joining us online at brothersoftheword.com or social media. Welcome to today's service. Always a wonderful delight and joy to have you to tune in and join us. I would like to share just a little humor. A man was visiting with his doctor, and he said, "Doctor, I think my wife is getting hard of hearing." And the doctor replied, he said, "There's a simple test you can run to see how bad the problem is." He said, "First, start out 40 feet away from her, and in a normal conversational speaking tone, say something and see if she hears you. If not, go to 30 feet, then 20 feet, and so on until you get a response." That evening, the man's wife, she was in the kitchen cooking dinner, and he's in the living room. So in a normal tone, he asks, "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response. So he moves to the other end of the room and repeats, "Honey, what's for dinner?" Still no response. Next, he moves into the dining room and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response. So he walks up to the kitchen door, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And again, there's no response. So he walks right up behind her in the kitchen. He said, "Honey, what's for dinner?" She said, "For the fifth time, Harry, chicken." For those of you who didn't get it, he was the one hard of hearing. It takes a minute to get that one. Well, we are sharing on the names of God, and we are on Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our Shepherd. And so we've been camped out talking about the Lord our Shepherd because he's just so good as a good shepherd. And so we're camped out in Psalms 23 because there's no other place that describes the good shepherd such as Psalms 23. So we're just having fun camped out in Psalms 23. It's a powerful psalm, and it's a psalm you should just really meditate on, that you should learn and really imbibe the power and the vigor and the life that's in it. Really hear what God is saying to us in Psalms 23. It's a powerful daily psalm for living daily life, and it goes into the great care of the Lord our Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, the Good Shepherd. And so in Psalms 23, last time we got an opportunity to share, Psalms 23 is only six verses, And last time we got an opportunity to go through the first half of the psalm. We covered verses 1, 2, and 3. Just to recap some of that, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And so here he's bragging on who his shepherd is. And so I want you to see that David, he doesn't write it as a shepherd. David actually writes this psalm as a sheep. And so he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So he writes this psalm from the point of view of a sheep, not as a shepherd, but as a sheep. And so he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So he's bragging on who God is, as to say, "I don't know who your shepherd is, but the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." So he's personal. And then he goes on to say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, shall not lack, won't need anything." And here he's saying that he's contented. He's contented in nothing more than the shepherd himself. The shepherd himself is enough, and more than enough. And so he says, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." His true contentment is in the shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not looking for anything else. I don't need anything else. I have all I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Not craving anything, not seeking anything, not going after anything else. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need anything else. I don't need anything else. I love that. He's talking about having a rich spirit, a generous heart. There's a quiet confidence, and there's just a radiant joy that comes from a contentment in the good shepherd. And he found that contentment. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need anything else. I have everything I need. His contentment was found in the good shepherd. That's in verse 1. In verse 2, it goes on and says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, letting us know that we can enjoy God's goodness and delight wherever we may be. That becomes green pastures because we're enjoying God's goodness and delight. No matter what circumstances you're in or find yourself, they can be green pastures when you're enjoying God's goodness and his delight. I love something that one writer said. He talked about, he was kind of looking at the sheep and the shepherd. He looked at the people of God in relation. God has always referred to himself as a shepherd of Israel. He was even moving the people of Israel from Egypt, taking them to a land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey. He was doing that for the sheep. He wanted to make them lie down in green pastures. So he wanted to put them in a place. You could see the shepherd finding a place for them to pasture in. And so I like something that he said. He talks about, his name is Philip Keller. And he said, here are some attitudes that we should have. Same way that sheep follow the shepherd, here's some attitude that we should have if we want to be able to follow the shepherd to the proper places in life. He said, number one, we should love Christ and others. Love Christ and others. He said, number two, be willing to be different. Be willing to be different. Don't try to fit into the world's mold. Be willing to be different. Be willing to be different. Number three, live unselfishly. Live unselfishly. Seek to serve and assist others. Live unselfishly. Seek to serve and assist others. Then number four, accept every circumstance of life in gratitude. Accept every circumstance of life in gratitude. And that goes in hand where it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. The pastures are green, not because of our circumstances. The pastures are green because we're delighting in his goodness. We're delighting in his faithfulness. We're delighting in him. That makes every pasture green, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what the circumstance. And so he says, accept every circumstance of life in gratitude. No matter how bad it is, something to be grateful for. If it's nothing more than, Father, I thank you that you're with me as I go through this. There's always something. So accept every circumstance of life in gratitude, in gratitude. I love that. I love that. And then number five, be obedient. Submit to his will. Follow the master's plan. I love that. Just five ways for us to be led by the good shepherd. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. Notice that the rest in green pastures. We talked about the green pastures being God's word. God's word is the green pastures in which we are to feed. God's word is always a green pasture for faith to feed on. Don't pass through it, but lie down in it. Abide in it. Rest in it. Chew on God's word. His word's a green pastures. So he makes us to lie down in green pastures. Not run through it, but to lie down in green pastures. Meditate on his word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And so now we see the leading, that he leads us and he guides us beside the still waters, still and restful waters. Now we see quiet, we see rest, we see refreshment. You can see the care of the shepherd. He wants you to take care of yourself. He doesn't want you to wear yourself out. He wants you to take care of yourself, makes you lie down, rest. You can see the rest, you can see the quiet, you can see the contentment and the peace. leisure beside the still and refreshing, restful waters. Want you to rest, be renewed, restored, leisure beside the still waters. He is the fountain of living water. We rest in Him. We drink of Him. We drink of Him. Jesus Himself said, He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. To drink means to take in. When you drink something, you're taking it in. Means to accept, means to take in, means to believe. We drink from Him. He is the living water. He is the living water. We drink from Him. So He leads us by the still waters. He's letting us know, even physically, that we should drink water. Now, here's something I want you to see. Mankind always has a thirst. He's not satisfied. And until that void can be filled with God, man will always be thirsty. That's why Jesus told the woman at the well, He said, if any man drink of me, I have water. You drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. And so many people are looking, they're seeking. They don't know what to call it. They may go through drugs or sex, or they may go after money or fame or this and that. They go after different hobbies or sports or movies or travel. They go after all of these different things, trying to fill a thirst that only He can fill. He leads us beside the still waters. He is the living water. Drink of me, you'll never thirst again. He satisfies us. Only the good shepherd knows where the pure, clean water is. The problem that the sheep had, they would venture off into little watering holes. The water would be muddy. It would be filled with microbial growth, parasites, would cause them to be sick and even die. But the good shepherd would always lead them to clean, refreshing water places. And so He leads us beside the still waters. And so we're seeking other things to try to satisfy something that only He satisfies. And we're seeking in other places and other things to quench a thirst that only He can quench. He is the living water. He is the living water. He is the living water. He leads us beside the living water. This is the good shepherd. I just love the fact that the good shepherd is taking care of us in such a way where He wants you to take care of yourself. He wants you to drink water physically. I think it's coded here. He wants you to drink some water. This is the Holy Spirit saying, hey, drink some water. Notice that. He leads us beside the still water. Drink water. You know, science varies on the amount you should drink, but, you know, drink at least 8 cups a day. That's enough to get you started, at least. But drink water. I think He's saying, take care of yourself. Rest. Drink water. He had them to lie down in green grass. Not all grass was nutritious and green. The shepherd took great care to find the right grazing field that would be nutritious and green. So you can see how the shepherd wants us to take care of ourselves. Eat good food. Rest. Drink plenty of water. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. So I appreciate that so much. The good shepherd wants us to take care of ourselves. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. And notice it goes on. It says, He restoreth my soul. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Every morning, sheep would go out, and as they would graze early in the morning, they would actually drink the dew from the grass. And that's how sheep actually get most of their water, is from the dew early in the morning, the dew on the grass. And it sort of says to us, if we would meet with Him early in the morning, He becomes the dew. He becomes the dew that satisfies, quenches our thirst, and it nourishes us. And we imbibe His life for the day. So the sheep, early in the morning, they drank the dew from the grass. That's what refreshed them. He restores our soul. Our souls are restored. If we would meet with Him in the morning, it does something. It keeps you from going crazy. It restores your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect. It keeps you sound. It restores and balances you, refreshes you, renews you. Something about meeting with our Creator, our Heavenly Father, in the morning does something to set the tone for the rest of your day. We imbibe his life for the rest of the day. So the sheep, they did that. So he restores my soul. He restores my soul. Also, the restoration part, God is always seeking to restore that which is lost. Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. He gave the illustration. He said a shepherd would leave the 99 to go get the one. See, that's a good shepherd teaching. I leave the 99 to go after the one. And so often the sheep would, many times the sheep would actually topple over if their weight became unbalanced due to the heaviness of the wool coat, or if they had gained weight, they could become off center and they would tip over. When they would lie down, they would roll over on their back, and that's called cast. So the sheep would be cast, meaning their feet up in the air, they're lying on their back, and a sheep cannot get up by itself. So he's stuck. And that's a very dangerous position to be in, because now you are prey to any predator. You're easy prey to any predator. And on top of that, the blood circulation can't flow out to the extremities, and the sheep would often die just being just left stuck like that. And so it was a very dangerous position. And so the shepherd would always be looking for any sheep that would be cast. And so he restored sheep back into the fold. So if there was one missing, the first thought was that he's cast somewhere. He's upside down somewhere and he can't help himself. So the shepherd would go out and look and run and find to restore him back into the fold. And so God seeks to save us, to restore us when we venture off, when we turn our lives upside down and we get off track. Thank God the good shepherd knows how to find us. He knows how to turn our lives back right side up and restore us. The good shepherd is always there to seek and to save that which was lost. He restores my soul. Sometimes your soul gets off. The good shepherd restores. He knows how to bring us back into the fold. He restores our soul. Well, that's just the first three verses that we covered last time. And we can take a look over into the next part of Psalms 23, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Then it goes on to say, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He'll always lead us to do what is right. He'll always lead us to do what is right. He'll always lead you in line with his word. He'll always direct your heart to the love of God. I like this translation. It says, he helps me do what honors him the most. He helps me do what honors him the most. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He helps me to do what honors him the most. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. He leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. In fact, one of God's name is the Lord, my righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is our righteousness. And so he has to lead us for his name's sake, because he's righteous, because he's holy. He has to always lead us in what's right. We are to walk in righteousness even as he is righteous. And then Jesus is our righteousness. We are made righteous. We receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. I love that. And so he'll always lead you. He'll always lead you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is your righteousness. He is your righteousness. He is your righteousness. He is your righteousness. Then it goes on, this may be the final part that we'll do today, in verse 4. Yea, though I walk, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Then verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now I love this, because before he was talking about the shepherd, now he's talking to the shepherd. Before he was boasting about the shepherd, The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now he's talking to the shepherd. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We're walking through it. Notice that. We're not stopping in it. No, keep moving. He moves us through the valley of the shadow of death. Keep moving. God's always moving us. Keep moving. Keep moving. Don't stop in the valley of the shadow of death. Keep moving. Keep moving. He walks us through the valley of the shadow of death. So walk. We walk through life. We don't live here forever. This is not our home. This is simply the valley of the shadow of death. We're walking through it. We're walking through it. We're not here to stay forever. We're walking through it. We're walking through it. And so we go through places that are dangerous. We go through dangers in life, but we don't have to be afraid because he's with us. Even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, notice this, a snake's shadow won't bite you. Neither will a sword's shadow cut you. So death has no victory over us. Death has already been defeated, has no power over it. And that's why Paul said, oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? You can't hurt me any longer. Jesus has already defeated death. For us, there is no death. Death is simply meaning that we're absent from this body, which means we're present with the Lord. And so that's why when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's no fear in death for the believer. No fear in death for the believer. We're simply taking a walk. We're simply taking a walk. We're walking through life. We're taking a walk without fear because he is with us. We're taking a cheerful walk. We're taking a cheerful walk. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And if you recognize, that's one of the names of God that we covered earlier. That's Jehovah Shammah. I am with you. Praise God. We're going to stop right there and we'll pick up next time and conclude Psalms 23. I'm just having so much fun because looking at this thing from the eyes of a sheep ridden by a shepherd who's now placing himself as a sheep under God's care. And it's so powerful. It's just powerful reminders for us to live by and enjoy daily. Praise God. Well, we're working our way down through Psalms 23. I didn't want to rush through it because it's so powerful. It is so powerful when we understand the care of the good shepherd. When we understand the care of the good shepherd. Oh, man. He takes such wonderful care of us because he's with us. Because he's with us. He takes such great care of us. You have no idea. Not all shepherds are good. That's why David boasted. He said, the Lord's mine, because not all shepherds are good. You'll find some flocks that are wasting away, disease-ridden. They're not well taken care of. The quality of the sheep depends on the care of the shepherd. The shepherd goes through great effort, planning, work, to have a successful flock, to have a thriving flock. He goes out of his way. He charts everything out. He charts everything out. It's painstaking effort. It's working year round. He moves them. They can't just eat in one pasture because they'll erode it. So he has to move them to keep the balance where this pasture won't be worn out. So I got to move them so they won't wear this out because they're going to need to come back here. And if they stay here too long, they'll wear out. So the shepherd is always balancing the different pastures. He got to make sure they graze a little here, a little there, a little here. He's moving them around. It's a full-time job to be a shepherd. The care of the shepherd is something we've never quite understood. It's a lot that goes into the care of the shepherd. It's a lot that goes into the care of the shepherd. And it showed me, I said, wow, God, you care for us like this. You take care of us like this. You're looking after us like this. Oh, man, we'll get into more of that next service. I'm really excited about the 23rd Psalm. It's powerful when you know the Lord is your shepherd. 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 It's not just any shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. Shall not want. Praise God. Amen. Man, I preach myself happy. Glory, glory. Praise God. Amen. 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 Those of you who are watching by television, I want you to go to brothersoftheword.com. You can listen to this series in its entirety, the names of God, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd, this entire series on Psalms 23. But we thank you so much for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was part 6 of the series titled The Names of God, subtitled Jehovah Rohi, part 3, by C. Elijah Bronner. This message is number 7925. That's 7925. To listen to thousands of free messages or to send this message number 7925 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because brother, you need the word.